This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 418, recorded Wednesday, November 14th, 2018, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Woohoo!
Clearly now with more Jerry.
Yes, more Jerry.
So what exciting things have happened to you this week, Jerry?
The driveway was put in. That was cool.
Okay, how big is the driveway?
We calculate we can park 14 cars on it.
Okay, that's a good number of cars. I've had much less excitement.
Oh.
I repaired a bunch of Z-Wave adapters.
You repaired them, you say?
Repaired.
Cool.
As in paired again. Hello.
Oh, ha ha ha.
Hold for just 1 second. So all of my door sensors are now connected directly up to the USB Z-Wave adapter instead of the Wink.
Oh, do you not like the Wink?
Well, I'm trying to go a little more local instead of remote.
Cool. I understand and sympathize and empathize and agree.
So let's see what we have here. For example, I have my ground floor door sensor.
Which, ground floor, you say?
Yes. It is one of many sensors. And it detects, it goes from, my only problem is that now it's connected directly. When the door is open, it says that it is number 255. When the door is closed, it's number 0. So I would prefer it to be more of an on and off state. So I have to do a little templating.
Well, that gives you room for it to be ajar.
No, it's a magnetic sensor. It can only be one of two things.
Oh, it's a read sensor.
Yeah, well, I have a whole bunch of Zigbee door and window sensors that I might give a shot to. And see if they work better. But sometimes I do well with Zigbee, sometimes with Z-Wave. And I had a few other problems. I rewired a ceiling fan, but there's not enough room in the box for my Wi-Fi controlled switch. So I'm having a bit of a depth issue.
What do you do in case of a depth issue?
Oh, there are two options. I could rip the box out of the wall and put a deeper box in. Or right. I could extend the box out of the wall so that the things are not flush with the wall.
Oh, I don't like that answer.
Well, again, it would look interesting.
That's one way to put it.
I don't know. It's like a little frame around it.
Okay. So it'll look like crown molding.
Just around the light switch. And I can decorate it and paint it if I wanted to. But we'll see what happens. And there's
yes,
more.
Yes, we will.
And there is more coming. But to do that, I actually rewired my fan to be controlled by another one of those Wi-Fi switches. I'm getting very good at flashing firmware using a bunch of jumper cables. I'll have to figure out what other Sonoff-based items I might try that with. I enjoy the Sonoff stuff. It's very nice. And I have more automation to do. I do have buttons now, which is nice.
Really? Buttons, you say?
Yes, I have one button in the bedroom that turns the lights on, and I have this other button in the here in the living room that turns my light off and on.
Ooh.
But it's interesting. I have a Z-Wave button controlling a Zigbee load, and then a Z-Wave button controlling a Wi-Fi load, and then a Z-Wave button controlling a Z-Wave load.
Sounds complicated.
No. All of the buttons just trigger events to occur, and the events trigger automations.
Ah. I believe, I don't remember what video I was watching. The guy was, he set up his home automation with Arduinos.
Which is doable. I'm not really an Arduino type person, but.
And that was pretty much, he had every button doing an HTTP post to an Apache server that would make calls to do the actual automation stuff, and talked about how he reworked it to work with an MQTT server. It was interesting.
It sounds interesting. But
that's all I have on that.
Okay. So that's my continued efforts here. It gets better every week. And I just have to get things a little more integrated. But I'm moving in that direction with one little project each week.
Cool. Yep. I'm still having trouble with presence detection.
Oh, I know I know where I am. I just don't do enough with that information.
Right, but I want to know, like, is my wife home? Is my daughter home? Has my other daughter shown up?
Do you have a leaderboard?
Well, it's just, so I'm trying two different ways. One is with, I have an Asus router. And it has, and there's a Asus WRT component that, in theory, does presence detection. And I'm also using the Nmap presence detection because basically everybody's phones connect to the Wi-Fi when they get here or when they're home. But it seems inconsistent.
I understand. That's why you want to have multiple ways and sort of average them together, which you can do.
Yeah. So I need to create groups for each person.
Consisting of multiple inputs, and then use those inputs to average out your.
Right. All right. It's complicated.
Home automation usually is.
All right. I'm definitely not having fun with that. It's not near what I was hoping for.
You'll get there. Everything's a challenge until it isn't.
True story.
And let's see. There was one other, again, programming note that I wanted to remind you. Let's see. The week after next, I will be in the midst of my Disney challenge, so I will have to not be recording a show.
Good luck with that.
Well, you're always welcome to make a surprise appearance, but I don't know if I will get through that. I think it's completely insane. And apparently I am the only one of the group of people I'm going with who thinks that this is not something that will ever actually, any of us will actually succeed at. I'm just going to have fun watching them try. But I will try my best because I wouldn't want to disappoint anybody.
Cool.
And then the next day I will collapse into bed and not move. At least that's what I'm predicting I'll do. Anyway, so in some Android news, Project Fi has extended its VPN to all connections and is working on improved connection switching.
Nice. Project Fi, and you're automatically VPN'd all the time, everywheres.
Well, I tried to find the beta setting for this, but I can't actually find the setting. It says that in the app there actually is an op. There's something for network settings, but I cannot actually find it.
Hmm. And you're up to date?
Yeah.
Well, software is a good place to start.
Maybe it's not permitted on my device.
Ooh. You're not running a Google device, are you?
I am running an approved device.
Right, but it's not a Google device.
No.
Well, who knows?
I don't know.
I don't.
That's why I said I just don't know. Android Q's multi-resume feature will let two apps run simultaneously without pausing. So currently the window mode in Android doesn't allow that.
Which is kind of weird, but
well, okay. It's not true multitasking.
Right. But now, I believe it's kind of safe to do this since now most phones are actually multi-cored. So
isn't it amazing it's about time. Change in that regard?
Yes.
So beyond that, Google has plans to fix the Android share menu, which is often rather slow.
Nice. Good. What are their plans?
Well, if you actually look, it involves a push versus pull relationship. So the current share list works by repopulating the list every time it's opened. So even though you haven't installed any new apps, it will go through placing a query for the intent, wasting a lot of time. So what they plan on doing is that the only time it's going to regenerate and repopulate this list is, I'm guessing, when there's an app update. They'll just cache the result until the next time that something updates apps.
Hmm. Seems smart.
Works, it works.
If something requires a large calculation, do the calculation when the things that, when the inputs to that calculation change. Seems logical.
And let's see. Google has admitted that too much white in apps is bad for battery life.
Now, this doesn't make no sense to me. Isn't that only true for certain types of displays?
Yeah, but even for other types of displays, it is good to not have quite as much brightness. Mm-hmm. Although, admittedly, a dark app can be bright. But I think the darker mode allows you to have a lower screen brightness, which can actually affect battery life.
Ah, true, true, true.
So I like dark mode. So I will just set everything for dark mode.
Except for the things that don't have dark mode.
Then I can't set it for that.
And therefore you won't.
Exactly. Google has released the first Android ecosystem security transparency report.
That sounds complicated.
Well, it's nice that they're being transparent. So these will be quarterly reports which will explain how they are handling situations.
Situations, you say?
The report will use segment charts to show devices that have had one or more potentially harmful applications installed over time, and there'll be two lines with one showing data about ones that were installed exclusively from the Play Store, while the other will show the rate for devices that installed applications and games outside of the Play Store.
Mm. You think they're setting up to indicate that sideloading is bad?
Quite possibly, but sideloading is potentially bad if you don't know what you're doing. Like anything else, you're installing software on your computer. That can be bad if you don't take necessary precautions. That is not just a Google issue.
I think they're setting up to take away sideloading from us. That does not make me happy. But, you know, honestly, I haven't sideloaded anything in a long time.
Yeah, if everything you need is available, then why do you need to sideload?
I'm sure there's some sort of freedom type argument there somewhere.
Perhaps. Let's see what else we have here. Google's digital well-being has exited beta. I have not tried it. Have you tried digital well-being?
Negative.
It doesn't show as available on my phone. So I didn't think I should sideload it. Google's restrictions on SMS and call log permissions may force some apps to abandon useful features, including like things like Tasker.
Yep.
So under the new rules, if I understand correctly, you can only access core log or SMS permissions to enable your app's core functionality. So apps that do things like record calls or apps that do things like export SMS messages do not cover the core functionality in some cases.
Or Tasker, where it's it is not core functionality to be able to access those. It's like an additional cool feature that it can do. They have told Tasker that he has to remove it.
Regrettably.
I believe that fight is still ongoing.
They'll lose. More because Google is probably not going to lose.
Well, it's not like, I'm not saying it's a legal fight. It's just...
No, I'm saying that Google is a big company. Tasker is not. I think that Google will win. I'm not talking about it being a legal issue. I think that they're not going to have a choice.
Right, but he's going to try and convince them to allow him to keep the SMS stuff. Correct. Because he's a special case.
Correct. I'm just skeptical.
Ah.
Cloudflare released a Android app for its 1.1.1.1 DNS.
Interesting.
Yeah, I tried it.
Did you?
Well, I'm not as I'm concerned about my traffic overall being monitored. I'm not so concerned about just my DNS.
Ah.
So a secure DNS app is not necessarily a priority for me unless it's part of an entire secure system.
Well, if you're on an older phone, the way it works is by putting you on a VPN.
It does. And I am on an older phone.
So it may still be valuable.
Well, we'll see. Eventually, I will not be on an older version of Android. I am told there are soak tests for Pi.
There are who?
There are soak tests.
What's a soak test?
That's like the initial testing where they have a small group.
Oh. Interesting.
In other news, Stan Lee has passed away.
Oh.
Were you a fan?
Not of Stan Lee, but of the stuff that he created, sure. We like superheroes.
Well, it is sad. He was very prolific. Google is helping the New York Times digitize 5 million historical photos, which none of us will get to see, but one can always hope.
Why will we not be able to see them?
Oh, they're not publicly sharing them. They're helping the Times digitize it. It is... basically, the interesting part of this is that Google is promoting this, but really it is just a corporate customer working to digitize their own private collection. So when Google did this for other organizations, for example, Time Magazine, you actually were able to access the stuff here. They're going to use it so that they can, that the Times can use it in future projects, not to make it publicly available on the web. Which would be nice, because some of the pictures, if you watch their video, look very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They have a picture of the first subway ride.
Ooh.
Yeah, you know, the anniversary of that just happened. It was October. It was October 27th, 1904. It was a great day.
For who?
For New York.
Ah.
Yeah. What happened was Mayor McClellan, he took the controls of the ceremonial first car, and what he was supposed to do was to turn the thing on and have it start moving and then hand it over to the motorman. But he didn't want to, so he basically operated the car without actually knowing how to operate a train for some distance, namely many stations. Yeah. Before he was convinced to turn it over. On a fortunate level, there was only one train on the tracks because it was the first train.
Not much risk of collision, you say?
One would hope. That is admittedly not my best subway story. I have better ones. But this isn't Subway Buffet, so you don't get to hear about the fare riots of 1906. Which is a shame, because that's a great story. Anyway, registration for the .dev top-level domain begins on January of 2019. Are you going to buy a .dev?
I think so. I find it interesting that for this domain,
yeah,
you have to have a certificate. You have to have, I mean, that's all the, if you try and go to http://anything.dev, it will redirect Google itself. Chrome will redirect you to the secure site. I thought that was interesting.
I am glad that they're doing that.
But it looks like, because I don't have a relevant trademark, I will not be able to register January 16th. But maybe I can from February 19th to February 28th.
Okay, well, I will not ask you what domain you want to register, because then somebody might squat on it.
Well, don't they have to prove that they have a relevant trademark?
Only in the initial round.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a domain that I've been looking to use that's related to the show that is, I've been squatting on. GWG.us. Anyway, there was an interesting article, What Chrome OS Needs Before It Can Be Considered a Real Computer. And here were the things that this particular article suggested. A real file directory. Compatibility with network storage, full app functionality, and desktop friendliness. I can't disagree, although now that they have this sort of Linux container, that's very helpful. And finally, in the lighter side of things, I just couldn't resist sharing the story. Man sues to lower age by 20 years to help him on Tinder.
Probably won't help.
Oh, I wasn't going to suggest it would help. I just find it really amusing that somebody thinks that they can sue to have their age legally lowered.
I wonder if it works.
If that worked, then there are a whole sorts of other things that opened up.
Maybe he identifies as an 18-year-old instead of a 38-year-old.
Somehow I don't think that's how it works.
Well, okay.
Okay,
it works that way in other aspects of stuff.
Okay, I identify as a senior citizen. Can I get the senior citizen discount?
Seems legit to me. This modern political world.
Just making a point. Maybe not a good point, but making a point. So, anything else on your mind as we wrap up for the day? Any more upcoming home automation type projects? Jerry, did I lose you?
I need to figure out this home automation thing.
I've been working on it for a while.
I got to know when my family's home.
Yeah,
I think the next step is installing Home Assistant on each one of their phones and enabling the location tracking. I think that's really the only way it's going to work.
Okay, the iOS version, which has location tracking.
Right. On Android, I would just use Zancito.
Yeah, which is what I'm using, although there are other apps.
Right, but my wife and my daughter both have iOS.
Yeah, and there's an option for that too.
Which is?
We just discussed it.
The Home Assistant app.
Yes.
Because Zancito does not work on iOS.
Correct.
Right. And apparently OwnTracks has issues.
Well, it stopped development, although I hear that they're coming back.
I mean, as in, it just didn't work very well. As the research that I have done has brought up that it just never actually worked really well. And even Home Assistant, the Home Assistant app, has some severe problems in that it's murder on the battery.
Is but it?
That's what I've heard.
Well, it depends on how smart it is. The other one you might want to try, which I hear good things about that I use occasionally for things, is GPS Locker. And that supposedly is better on the battery.
For iOS?
No, for Android.
I've got Zanzito for Android. I'm not worried about Android.
Okay, well, I haven't looked into any iOS stuff. You should be surprised that I know that on iOS you can actually use the Home Assistant app for that. Because I have no reason to know that.
So why do you know that?
I know many things I have no reason to know.
True. Fair enough. Fair
enough. Why was
enough.
I telling stories about Mayor McClellan?
I don't know who that is.
The gentleman who took control of the train and wouldn't let go of it. I told you that story less than 10 minutes ago. You do remember that, right? Being as it just got
it. Yeah, the subway guy.
Yeah, the subway guy. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program. Join us next week for another episode of Subway Buffet, where I will tell you the story of the Malbone Street disaster of 1918, which occurred 100 years ago this month on November 1st, 1918. Or not. Anyway, until next time, Jerry?
Hello. No, wait. Bye. That's what we're saying.
Do you have any final thoughts?
If anybody knows a better location tracking for iOS that I can share with my family, then please, by all means, let us know.
Well, I know one, but it requires a server.
I have servers.
Okay, I know somebody who created an app that links to a nice little server product where you can query your location, but I don't think there's an integration for Home Assistant.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. Until next time.
Bye, folks.
Goodbye.